today's shiur is Masecht in the Dorm, Daf Samach Zayin. We're going to begin at the new perek on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis on the bottom of the Omid. Our perek will begin to discuss the halachas that a husband, a father, under certain circumstances, have the right to be mefer, to release a neder made by their wife, by their daughter. As our Mishnah and Gemara that we're going to learn today really say that there are three stages in a woman's life, and we'll, Amit Hashem, learn the psukim that teach us those three stages. The first stage is when a girl is still in her father's jurisdiction. She's a Nara. We know a Nara is a girl who's 12 to 12 and a half, who has brought the two simonim. If she's a single girl and she makes a neder, her father has the right to be made for the neder. We're also going to learn a mitzvah shem. Even though a girl is typically not bas mitzvah, not responsible for what she does before she's 12 years old, a boy or a girl who fall under the category of a muflah samach lish, someone who is almost bar or bas mitzvah and is of intelligence to be responsible for what they say, they and the dorim are effective. And there too, when a girl who's a muflah samach lish, who is saying, does they have the ability to make a neder when she's still single and she's still in her father's home, the father has a right to be made for those nedarim. Once a girl becomes a arusa and she's still a nara, there, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah and the Gemara, her nedarim are released by a combination of a father and a horus. And once a girl becomes a nesua, their hanadarim are released by her husband alone. In fact, her husband, when he releases her from the dorim, when she is a nesua, has an advantage over her father. Her father, as we said, can only release her from the dorim as long as she's only a nara. Once she's above the age of a nara, once she's above the age of a begeris, her father does not have any more the ability to release her from the dorim. What will be the halacha by a nesua? Makes no difference. A woman could be any age. Her husband has the right to be made for her nedarim. As we have also learned previously, there's a fundamental difference between hafara and hataras nedarim done by a rav or a bezdin. Hataras nedarim releases and annuls the neder as if there was never a neder. Hafara doesn't have the ability to do that. What hafara has the ability to do is only from here on forward, not releasing, not annulling the nether from the beginning. Furthermore, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, a husband, a nesua, her husband only has the right to be made from the dorim that fall under one of two categories. Either it's a nether of inui nefesh, a nether that causes her pain, or it's a nether that's beinoi lebeino, something that reflects the relationship. And even in those two categories, there are different dinim. The neder of inui nefesh, that the husband has a right to be mefer, he has the right to completely be mefer those nedarim. And the neder is completely void. On the other hand, the neder beinoi lebeino, that the husband has a right to be mefer, that's only as far as the relationship between the husband and wife are concerned, but not in general that the neder is completely null and void. And therefore, as far as everybody else is concerned, the nether would still be a nether. Now, there's a machloikus rishonim. What about a father and daughter? This that we said that the father has a right to be mefer the dorim of the daughter. Do they also, is that hafara limited to the dorim of inui nefesh and beinoi lebeino? Or does it apply to all the dorim? Machloikus rishonim. And actually, this machloikus rishonim has very interesting halachic ramifications. Because there's another shaila. When we say that a husband has a right to be made from the dorim, or a father has a right to be made from the dorim, why? Why? Doesn't mean because this is the rights that the Torah gave him. Or doesn't mean because when a person makes a neder, a girl makes a neder, a wife makes a neder, she makes the neder al das bala. that she understands she needs a father or a husband's consent. And when she makes the nether, she has that in mind. If we're going to learn that it means because that by the husband, it's pretty obvious that it's aldas. It's the reason is because what the Torah gave him the rights to do. Because if the reason were that every wife makes a nether, aldas bala, that she's waiting for her husband's consent, then why is the halacha that the husband only has a right to be made from the dorim, or beino lebeino, and in nefesh? If we're saying that the lumdus is that the woman, the wife, when she makes a nether, is thinking about her husband, so then every nether should fall into that din. So it's pretty obvious that the reason a husband can be made from the Nedarim is because the Torah gave him that right. And that right is limited to the Nedarim of Inu Nefesh and the Nedarim of Beino Lebeino. But now we need to understand the father, the reason a father has a right to be made from the Nedarim. If we'll say it's similar to the husband's rights, so we could, some say that that's exactly the Machlokes Rishonim. If it's rights that the Torah gave, so those Rishonim say that the Torah's rights were limited to the Dorm of Inu Nefesh and the Dorm Beino Lebeino. The Torah did not give him a right to be made for all the Dorm. But if we say, suggest the Achroinim, that the father's right is not like the husband's right, it's not because the Torah gave him specific rights, some yes and some no. It's because a girl, when she makes a nether, when she's under her father's jurisdiction, thinks of all Nedarim, knowing that she really can't make a nether unless her father consents. So therefore, it will not be limited to Nedarim of Inu Nefesh and Beino Lebeino. It will reflect all Nedarim. Where does this have an interesting halachic ramification? Very interesting, Shaila. What will be the halacha if a girl is an adopted daughter? She's not a biological daughter, she's an adopted daughter. Does the father have a right to be made for her Nedarim? If we'll say that it depends on the rights that the Torah gave a father, so the Torah only gave those rights to a biological father. But if on the other hand we're going to say that the reason a father has a right to be made for the Nedarim of a daughter, because when a daughter makes Nedarim, as long as she's still only a Nara, she has a mind and recognizes that any nether she's making, she's only making aldas aviha, with her father's consent. So the fact that this girl is only adopted, not biological, that doesn't change the fact that this girl thinks that every nether I'm making, I'm thinking about, is my father going to be agreeable to this nether, or is my father not going to be agreeable to this nether? And therefore the halacha ought to be that even an adopted daughter, the father, her adopted father, should be able to be made for the nether. There's an interesting shaila from Aaron Cutler that asks as follows. According to the Shitois that we just said, that the father's rights are much greater than the Orus's rights, the husband's rights. The husband only has a right to be made for the Nedarim of Inu Nefesh, the Nedarim of Beinoi Lebeino. The father, according to some Rishonim, has a right to be made for all Nedarim. What will be the halacha, asks Reb Aaron, regarding the Nedarim that are not Inu Nefesh, or are not Beino Lebeino, that a girl who's a Arusa makes, do we say that there she reverts to being like a single girl, that a father can be made for the Nedarim? Or do we say that once a girl is in the category of an Arusa, so her father does not have the ability to be made for the Nedarim alone, and therefore these Nedarim, that the Arus doesn't have the ability to be made for, will not be meferable, will not be nedarim that can be mufer, because the father can't be mefer by himself, and the husband has no right to be mefer these nedarim. Rabbi Aaron, says that we have to follow the second opinion. And once a girl is an arusa, even according to the opinions that a father can be mefer in the nedarim that are not beino lebeino, and that are not only inu nefesh, this girl's nedarim cannot be released. Why? Because she needs the husband's involvement, and the husband has no right to be made for those types of nedarim. But now we go on to speak about another shaila. And that is, a girl who's a Bulgaris. A girl who's a Bulgaris. So we said that once a girl is a Bulgaris, her father can't be made for her Nadarim. What's going to be the halacha, a girl who's a Bulgaris and is also an Arusa? A girl who's a Bulgaris and a Nesua, we said that the husband is made for her Nadarim. What's going to be the din of a Bulgaris who's an Arusa? Do we say that her father and her husband have to be made for the Nadarim together, but her father can't be made for these Nadarim because she's already a Bulgaris? Or do we say that since she's a Bulgaris and an Arusa, her husband, her Arus, will be able to be made for the Nadarim herself? And it's actually a Machloikus Rishonim. The Ran holds, a girl who's a Bulgaris and Arusa, her Nadarim cannot be released. Why? Because she needs her father and her husband to release the Nadarim together. And a father can't be made from the Nadarim of a Bulgaris. Tosfos Rid disagrees. Tosfos Rid says that the Nadarim of a Bulgaris, an Arusa, her Oris is made for himself. However, the Tosfos Rid does agree, he does agree, that the Nadarim, let's say she made a Neder when she was a Nara and an Arusa, and now, before her father and her husband had an opportunity to be made for the Neder, she became a Bulgaris, those Nadarim cannot be released. He says his Kula, only in a situation where she's already a Bulgaris and an Arusa, that the husband, the Oris himself, can be made for the Nadarim. But there's another important halacha, and that's the halacha of Hakama, confirming a Neder. Once the father or the husband are making the Neder, confirm a Neder, then the Neder becomes effective, that it can no longer be Mufar, it can no longer be released. And there are two ways that a Neder could be confirmed. One way of it being confirmed is that the father or the husband, B'yoyim Shamay, the day that they heard of the Neder, left it and didn't say anything. The Neder becomes automatically confirmed. Another, that's what we would call a passive Hakama. They didn't actively confirm it. It became by itself confirmed. And then there's a situation of an active hakama. An active hakama is where the father or the husband were actively making the nether, they confirmed the nether, and then the nether becomes confirmed. Is there a difference in these two types of hakama, the passive or the active hakama? So the Rishonim want to suggest that there is a difference. A passive hakama can be annulled. That means if the father was making it, or the husband was making it, by not actively confirming it, but not unconfirming it, the father can then be shoyel, he can be matter, he can have that hakama released. However, an active hakama, we actively confirmed it, the Rishonim suggest can no longer be released later on. But the halacha is that the father could own, or the husband, can only be making the nether b'yoyim shamay, the day that they hear of the nether. Let's say they let that day pass. That's too late to be made for. Now the question is, in the case of the Arusa, who we said, and we'll discuss more in a moment in the Mishnah and the Gemara Mitzvah, where we have a joint hafara, the father and the husband have to jointly be made for it. So all Rishonim seem to agree that they don't have to do it mamish together. The father could do it and the husband can do it separately. But the machloikas Rishonim that we do have is, do they have to do it on the same day? Some Rishonim suggest that if the father is made for it on the day that he heard the nether, and that wasn't the day that the husband heard the nether, the husband heard it another day and he's made for it the day he heard it, even though they weren't made for it on the same day, it's considered a fine hafara, because they both were made for on the day that they heard. There are other Rishonim who ever say that even though they don't have to be made for it together, they do have to be made for it on the same day. And therefore, even if we'll have a situation that the father heard it on one day, and the day he heard it, he was immediately made for, and the husband heard it many days later, but he was made for it the day he heard it. But since they weren't made for it on the same day, the hafara is not effective. Says the Mishnah, Nara Hamarasa, a girl who's a Nara, who's a Marasa, Dalach is of you, a Bala Mefirim Nadareha. Her husband and her father are made for the Nadarim jointly. And therefore says the Mishnah, Hefer av v'loy hefer abal, if the father was mefer and not the husband, or hefer habal v'loy hefer av, the husband was mefer and not the father, ain't a mufer. Then it's not considered released because they both weren't mefer. V'ain tzarch loyma, says the Mishnah, shekim echemhen. If one of them was mekayimit, once one of them was mekayim that nether, so he certainly can no longer be made for it, and he no longer can be made for it, since we need the hafara of both the father and the husband, this nether can no longer be mufar. Ask the Gemara. Once the Mishnah teaches us, naru hamrasa, aviu bala, mefirim nedareho, so the question is, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that you need both of them to be made for it? Why does the Mishnah have to teach us the next words, hefer av v'loy hefer abal, or hefer abal v'loy hefer av? That's the exact same din. Haina resha. Isn't that a repetition of what we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, that it said, oviu balo, mefir in the derel? Why does the Mishnah repeat itself? Answers the Gemara. If we only had the line of the Mishnah that said, nara hamarasa, oviu balo, mefir in the derel, I would perhaps think that the way to understand that line of the Mishnah is not to say that we need both. Maybe the Mishnah is teaching us, oy aviha, oy bala. Either one alone is enough, kamash malan, that we need them together. Ask the Rishonim, the obvious question. We could avoid making this mistake with one word. If the Mishnah said, nara marasa, oviha bala, mefir in the doreha, yachtov. Just add the word yachtov, and we'll know that it means together. Why does the Mishnah have to add two lines of Mishnah? Just add the word yachtov. So the Rosh says that that's not the terminology that's typically found in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't use the word yachtov, and that's why the Mishnah didn't use that wording. The Rishash says a beautiful teretz, and we really gave the teretz. The Rishash says that how our Mishnah used the words nara hamarosa, ovio bala mefir in the derei yachtov, we could come to make the mistake that not only do they have to both be made for the nether, they have to be made for the nether mamish together. But we said that all Rishonim agree that as long as they're made for the nether in the same day, not right together, it's satisfactory. So if we had the word yachtov, we could come to make an error that they have to do it mamish together, which is not true. And that's why the Mishnah couldn't use the word yachtov. Continues the Mara. Then the Mishnah said, Vein tzarch loy meshikim echad mehem, that if one of them was mekayim the nether, that certainly this nether can no longer be mufar. Ask the Gemara, lamli lemisna. Why does the Mishnah have to say this? Hash the yesh loymer. If we just finished learning, heif zeh b'loy zeh, if only one of them was mefer, if only the father or the husband were mefer, v'loy klom, it's meaningless. You have to have the hafara of both, kiyem, Echad mehem lamali. So certainly if one of them was Mekayim, it's not going to be a nether that can be mufar. Why does the Mishnah have to teach it to us? So the Ran asks a very fundamental question. He says, we who are Baruch Hashem learned many Mishnayis know that it's very common that the Mishnah says, Zu vein tzarech loy mezu. It's very common that we find that a Mishnah teaches us a din that's obvious. And we say, it answered many times in Shas, Zuven Tzarech Loy Mezu, that the Mishnah teaches us a din that's obvious. So why all of a sudden, when now we find ourselves learning a Mishnah that teaches us an obvious din, do we ask, why does the Mishnah say it? Says the Ran, important concept. He says, when do we apply the concept of Zuven Tzarech Loy Mezu? When the Mishnah speaks about two cases, which we really didn't need both cases, one case could be understood by extrapolating, by learning the other case. So we say, even though it wasn't necessary for the Mishnah to say the second case, or say the first case, Zuvein Tzarech Loy Mezu, we mention it anyway. But we never apply, says the Ran, the concept of Zuvein Tzarech Loy Mezu to repeat the exact same thing. Ask the Ran, says the Ran, that's the Gemara's Kasha. When the Mishnah said in its last words, "Ve'ein tzarech loymer shekayim echemehem," that's mamish what the first case of the Mishnah is. So why did the Mishnah have to repeat it? You can't say Zuvein Tzarech Lai Mezu when it's a repetition. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara. Srichlim ki etzrichlei ki going to heifa echem mehem v'kayim echad v'chaz v'kayim v'nishlal kamosan. What happened was like this. The husband was made for the nether. The father was mekayim the nether. And then the father went and was shoyel. He was matan that hakama. Mad tema, mad oka ha'akri. He was mekayim, and then he was oikarit. Kamash mlam the mefirim shneim v'bas achas. And there are many pshatim and the rishonim how to understand this line of the Gemara. One way of explaining the Gemara, which is not the way most rishonim explain the Gemara, but is a very simple way of explaining the Gemara, is as follows. The husband was mefer in the morning. Then the father was mekayim. And then the father decided to be mefer his, to be matir his akoma. We might think that included in the hatorah of that hakoma, included in that act, is afara. Because if he wasn't interested in being mefer, why would he be matir the akoma? So we should think that that act of hatorah of the akoma includes in it a hafara. Kamashman hafara is hafara, and hatorah of the akoma is hatorah of the akoma. And just because he was matir the akoma, it's not enough. He has to go still and be mefer. That's a very nice way of learning the Gemara. Unfortunately, it's not the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara. The way most Rishonim learn the Gemara is as follows. The husband was mefer in the morning. Then the father was mekim. Then the father was shoyel on the Hatorah. He's shoyel on the Hatorah. And he goes ahead and he's explicitly mefer then. So we would think, we now have a complete afara. We have the afara of the husband in the morning, coupled with the afara of the father in the afternoon. We have a complete tafara. Kamash malon, the Gemara, that since after the husband's hafara of the morning, it was followed by hakama of the father in the afternoon, that voids that afara, that voids that original afara of the husband. And now we have a machloikus rishonim that the Ran quotes. Some rishonim, says the Ran, the Rambam's opinion, is that this nether can no longer be mufer. Why? Because the husband was mefer in the morning. That hafara was negated with the hakama that took place of the father afterwards. We have a rule of ein hafara ach hafara. You can't be mefer a nether twice. The husband was mefer in the morning. The husband was mefer in the afternoon. Wouldn't work. And therefore, this nether can never be mufer. That's how the Rambam learns. The Ran and most Rishonim disagree. He says as follows. The husband was mefer in the morning. Then the father was matir. That voided that hafara. So now, after the father will be matir his hakama, he'll go be mefer, and we'll have the husband be mefer again. We have a complete afara of the father and the husband, and the nether is mufer. What is the machloikis harishayim based on? So the Achrayim say a beautiful pshat. They say a beautiful pshat. They say that what happens when the husband is mefer and then the father is mekayim? Does that completely void the original afara? Or does it not completely void the original afara? It just weakens it. The Rambam holds that it weakens the original afara, but it's still in place. And since there's a halacha that we're going to learn in our masechta of ein hafara acha afara, the husband doesn't have an opportunity to be mefer again. And therefore, this nether can never be mufer. The other Rishonim, the Ran, says that once the father is mekayim, after the husband was mefer, it completely voids that afara. Because the afar of the husband alone is nothing. And therefore, we don't have a situation of afar acha afara. Because the first afar was completely voided. And therefore the husband, now after the father, is shoyel on his akama. And goes through with afara, does have the ability to be mefer, and will have a complete afara jointly between the husband and the father, and the nether is mufer. The Rashba, attempts to make a difference, and this will be more understood in Mitzvah Hashem, in tomorrow's shir, who did the hafara in the morning? The father or the husband? Because the Rashba suggests, and it will be very evident in future shiurim, that the father's power is a lot greater than the husband's power. And therefore, he says, it makes a difference if it was the father who was mefer, and then the husband was mater, or if the husband was mefer, and then the father was mekayim. And he suggests that if the husband was mefer, and then the father was mekayim, and then shoyel, that neder could be mufer. On the other hand, if it would be the other way around, not. The Ran also quotes a very interesting question of the Rashba. The Rashba asks, there's a Gemara Masechta Ksubas. We learned the Gemara. The Gemara says, if somebody's Mekadish and Isha, he marries a woman on the condition, She'ein Alecha Nedarim. That on you there are no Nedarim. And then it turns out that she does have Nedarim. If this woman will go to a Rav, to a Bezdin, and will be Matan Neder, the halacha is that it's as if there were no Nedarim. And if there are no Nedarim, she's Mekudeshes. So asks the Rashba, why not an our Gemara the same? That if the father was Matir the Hakama, that should all be, that's necessary. So the Rashba, the Ran, and this is the way Rav Shimon Shkop explained what they say, says it's a very big difference. He says, a man who's Mekadesh and Isha, with a Tanai that there's no Nedarim. We have two separate issues here. We have the Kedushin, and we have the Tanai. The Kedushin are a full-fledged Kedushin. Now there's a problem that she can't fulfill the Tanai. She's not supposed to have Nedarim on her, and she does have Nedarim on her. For that we could say, the Hatara removes that, and the Kedushin remains valid. Here, when the father was making, that changed the entire picture of her situation, of her neder being able to be released. So even if that hatkama becomes released by her father or her husband going to have a hatara on that hatkama, it still doesn't change that we don't have a hafara here, and a hafara still has to take place. So as we learned, there are three stages, as we said in our introductory remarks. A girl in a father's rishus, a girl who's an arusa, and a girl who's an nesua. And the Gemara will now explore from where do we find these three stages. And actually, to really have an appreciation of the Gemara we're going to learn now, we really need to learn the first psukim of Parshas Matos. V'dav Moshe, Arusha, Matos, Bnei Yisrael, Lema, Zeh, Dov, Tziv, Hashem. And first he teaches us the basic halacha, which we're spending a lot of time learning Baruch Hashem in this Masechta. Ish ki yida nedel Hashem ha'isha v'shvua, les isa al-nafshoi, lo yachel dvoroi, k'chol ha'p'yot mi'piv yasa. A person has to keep his nedarim. Then the Torah speaks about, and we don't have really time to go through all these psukim, so I'm just going to do it in an abbreviated way. V'ish ki yida nedel Hashem, this we're going to explain, speaks about a girl who's still under her father's jurisdiction. V'sham avias nedra, her father becomes aware of the nedra. V'mheinu avay sabiyosha, if the father's mekayim the nedra becomes fulfilled. If not, the father has a right to be made for the nedra. That's up to Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin begins v'mhoyosiyo li'ish. And as we're going to learn in our Gemara, this refers to a girl who's an arusa. V'mhoyo, v'ov. She's still under father's jurisdiction, but she's also hayasilish. She's also under her husband's jurisdiction. And as we're going to learn, that the father and the husband are meif in the dorim together. That goes until pasuk yud aleph. In pasuk yud aleph, we learn then beis isha nedara. That we're going to understand refers to a girl who's already a nesua. There, her husband alone has jurisdiction over her nedarim, and as we also learned at the beginning of our shir, it makes no difference what age this girl is. So begins the Gemara. V'nara marasa, a girl who's a nara marasa, aviu abal mafin nedarel. Menolan, how do we know this? So as we said, amar rabba amar kra, v'im hayosiyalish, the Torah begins speaking with the vav, they're adding the previous parasha that speaks to the father alone, and here includes the husband, when the Dura Leo, Mikala Nara Marasa, here we learn that a girl is a Nara Marasa, or Viu Ubala Mafina Dura. That her father and her husband together are made for her Nadorim. Ask the Gemara, Eima Hai Krob and Nesuah Ksiv. Maybe this Pasuk speaking to a Nesuah. And maybe the way to understand the Pasuk, explained the Rishonim, is not to understand that the Pasuk is saying that the father and the husband should jointly be made for the Nadorim. Rather, the way to understand the Pasuk is that the Pasuk is speaking only to the husband and is telling the husband of a Nesuah that he is made for the Nadorim alone. Answers the Gemara, Imishum Nesuah, if we're going to say that this Pasuk is referring to Nesuah, we don't need that Pasuk for Nesuah. For as we just said, Kroach Rinixiv, we have another Pasuk that teaches us the Halacha of a Nesuah. The Pasuk Yud Aleph, that says Vim Beis Isha Nadara, that we explained that the Pasuk is referring to Nesuah. It must be that this Pasuk of M'hoyu Seel Ish, Pasuk Zion, is speaking to an Arusa. Ask the Gemara, Eima Tavaya Benesua. Perhaps I'll say that both Pasuk Zion and Pasuk Yud Aleph are referring to Nesua. But then you'll ask the obvious Kasha, V'chi Tema Trey Krob Benesua Lamali. Why do I need two Psukim to teach us that the husband has the ability to be made for the Nadorim of a Nesua by himself? Lameimer Shena Baal, made for Bekoidman. There is a halacha as follows. There's a very big difference between the rights of a husband who's made for the Nadarm of a Nesua and the rights of a father, or the rights of a father joint with an Oros. A father has a right to be made for the Nadarm Bekoidman, even prior Nadarm. A husband, let's say a girl had Nadarm on her, she made Nadarm before she became a Nesua, and then she becomes a Nesua. Although we learned, and will continue to learn in Mitzvah Shem, that a nasui, her husband, a full-fledged husband, has the right to be made from the nedarim of a wife, those are only the nedarim that are made before their marriage. Not the nedarim that are made prior. In fact, the Rishonim tell us, again, these halachas aren't that relevant in our world, because we don't live in a world of nedarim, Baruch Hashem, but the Rishonim say that it's a good idea for every orus, right before he makes his wife into nesuah, should be made for all nadarim that his wife has. Because the halacha is that the nadarim that she has from before the nesuin, once she's a nesuah, he won't be able to be made for. So this is his last chance, as long as there's still only orus arusa, for him to be made for those nadarim. But that, so the Gemara's question is, maybe both psukim are teaching us the halacha of a nesuah, and the need for both psukim for the second pasuk is to teach us that the nasi only has a right to be made from the nedarim that the wife makes after the nesuin, but the nedarim which are there prior to the nesuin, he wouldn't have the right to be made for. Says the Gemara, v'lama meila shemana, that if the pasuk is speaking to a nesuah, if Pasuk Yud Aleph teaches us the halacha of a Nesua, I don't need Pasuk Zayin. It'll be obvious that the husband only can be made for those Nadarim. The fact that we have Pasuk Zayin leaves us no option to say that the Pasuk is teaching us the halacha of an Arusa, that the husband and the Arus are made for together. Iba Yisema, the Gemara says another Raya, that Pasuk Zayin is teaching us the halacha of an Arusa, that the halacha is that the husband and father are made for together. The Havaya Kedusha Mashma. The word Hoya speaks to Havaya. And Havaya refers to Erisin, not to Nesuin. Ask the Rishonim, that the Ran already asked the question, and other Rishonim asked the question, that throughout Shas, we do find that the word Havaya can mean Nesuin. So how is the Gemara saying that Pasuk Zion, which begins with the words Hayasiya, must be speaking about an Erisin? Erisin, Havaya can mean Nesuin too. So the Miri says that's not true. Havaya typically means Erisin. Other Rishonim have the two different answers. The Ran, very similar to the previous Gemara, says as follows. Yes, he says, the word Havaya can mean Erisin and Nesuin. He says, however, since we have Pasuk Yud Aleph, which speaks about Nesuin, by deduction, we must say Havaya of Pasuk Zion speaks to Erisin, because otherwise, why would we need another Pasuk of Nesuin? The Rasbis has a different way of understanding the Gemara. He says, yes, Havaya can mean, the nicest teretz, I think, Havaya can mean Erisin or Nesuin. He says, so if I have no other choice, I will say that Havaya means Nesuin. But if I have an option to say that Havaya means Erisin or Havaya means Nesuin, I'm more likely, and it's easier for me to say that it means Erisin. So since it's very easy to explain that Pasuk Zion, which uses the word Havaya, which uses the words of Havaya, it's easy to explain that it speaks about Erisin, as we are actually explaining. I prefer to say it speaks about Erisin rather than to say it speaks about Nesuin. Ibai Seima Havaya Kedusha Mashma. Ask the Mara, Eima Av Lechudei Mefer. Maybe I should say that the father himself is Mefer, not with the husband at all. Ask the Gemara, how could we say that? If we're going to suggest, says the Gemara, that the father of an Arusa could be made for himself, and the Ran explains the Gemara, and it's important to understand what the Ran says, that the Gemara's question is, don't explain the Pasuk, don't explain Vimhoyasiyah, that the father is made for together with the husband. Say that the father is made for alone, as long as the husband is not Mekayimit, and all the husband has the ability to do is to be Mekayim, not to be Mefer. Ask the Gemara, if the father has the ability to be Mefer himself, in came va'osr issa be'savir yonu yisulamali, why do I need a pasuk to say that the father can be Mefer the Nedarim of a single daughter? Hashti yeshloima, if we're now suggesting b'makam oris Mefer, that where she's an Arusa, he still is Mefer himself, Mefer av l'chudei, the father is Mefer by himself. Shloi b'makam oris mebayi. Then certainly, when she's not yet an Arusa, the father could be Mefer. It must, so it can't be that the pasuk means to teach us that the father could be Mefer himself. However, ask the Karen Oira, Gvaldig Akasha. He's saying that now we're suggesting that what the Gemara means is that the father can be made for himself, provided that the husband is not Mekayim. Now, how did we define Kiyim? We define Kiyim is that Kiyim doesn't have to be an active Kiyim. Kiyim could be a passive Kiyim. That if the husband just doesn't be made for, it's automatically that he's Mekayim. So ask the Karen Oira, if the Gemara is now suggesting that the father can be made for, as long as the husband is not Mekayim, but Kiyim happens immediately. It happens automatically. So in essence, the Gemara is not saying anything, ask the Karen Oira, because the husband's going to have to be Mefer, because if he's not going to be Mefer, the Kiyim will happen automatically. So the Karen Oira gives three terutzim. He says, what would be the halacha if the father was Mefer, and the husband wasn't Mefer, and the girl violated the nether? If we're saying that the entire purpose of the husband's hafara is just to avoid kiyum, so as soon as the father was mefer, we really have hafara. The husband's hafara is just a formality to avoid the hakama. And therefore, if she violated the nether after the father was mefer, it'll be that she didn't violate the nether. But if we're learning, as we are learning, that you need the active hafara of both the father and the oris, if the father was Mefer, and she violates the nether prior to her husband's hafara, it'll be considered that she was violated the nether. Another teretz goes back to the example that we gave in Amud Aleph, where we spoke about a case where the father was Mefer, and then the husband was Mekayim, and then he was Mater. If we'll say that as soon as he's Mater the Hakama, we don't have an Hakama anymore, the nether will be Mufer. If we say we need the husband's active hafara, it wouldn't be enough. A third nafkamina be as follows. We said at the beginning of the shir that there's a machloikis rishonim if the father and the husband have to be mefer on the same day. Some rishonim said they have to be mefer on the same day. Certainly, if all we need is that the husband should not be mekayim, and the entire purpose of the husband's hafara is just to void his passive hakama, all Rishonim would agree that that does not have to take place on the same day of the hafara. And therefore, even the Rishonim who say, as the halach is, that the father and the husband do have to be mefer, and according to those Rishonim, they have to be mefer on the same day, if all we need just is that the husband shouldn't be making, that doesn't have to take place on the same day as the hafara of the af. But now ask the Gemara, the other side. Ema. And like the Rishonim explain, the Gemara really knew all along that you need the joint hafara. The questions and answers that the Gemara gives us are just ways of crystallizing and understanding the psukim. And now the Gemara goes to the other extreme. Ema. Perhaps we should say like this. Av l'baya oris. A father's hafara is meaningless. V'oris l'chudei mefer. A oris is mefer himself. And again, according to the Ran's explanation, the Gemara's question is, as long as we don't have the hakama of the father, if the oris was mefer alone, it's adequate. Ask the Gemara, if that's all going to say, v'chi tema, av d'kos rechvan alamali, but the Torah speaks about the father. And it was saying that he doesn't count. What does the Torah teach it? Speak about him. The Baile will say that all the Torah speaks about the father is to teach us, that the Torah teaches us that the father has the ability to be Mekayim, but not that his Afar is crucial. Answers the Gemara, Im came base Ish Nadara Lamai Kosov. Pasuk Yud Aleph, which we said speaks about in the Suah, why do I need a Pasuk? Uma B'mokam Av, if the girl is only on Oris, Mefa. And so therefore, she's still only in Arusa. So father still has some sort of jurisdiction over her. We're suggesting now, Arus Mefer L'chudei, Shalai B'mokam Av. Once she's in the Suwa, Mebayi. So why do I need Pasuk Yud Aleph? The fact that we have a parasha of Nesua is a clear indication that in Arusa, the husband, the Arus, cannot be Mefer alone. Ema, so ask the Gemara, you know what I'll tell you? Maybe the Pasuk is teaching us as follows. An Oris is made for a loan. And a Suah is made for a loan. So if an Oris is made, the husband is made for a loan. Certainly a Nesuah, the husband is made for a loan. Why do I need Pasuk Yud Aleph? Ema, in base Ish Nadara, maybe Pasuk Yud Aleph, which was saying speaks about a Nesuah, is coming to teach us, Loimish ain abal mefer bekaidman. As we said earlier, a Nesuah, the husband can't be made for the Dharam that are there prior, and the Oris can. Uminei, says the Gemara, that's the proof. If we're going to say that both by an Oris and a Nesuah, it's the husband alone, then we need to understand why by a Nesuah can the husband not be made for the Dharam that are there prior, and by an Oris he can be made for the Dharam that are there prior. If we'll say that by an Oris he's mefer together with the father, and by a Nesuah he's mefer alone, we could understand the difference. A Nesuah, since he's mefer alone, he cannot be mefer bekaidman. An Oris, that he's mefer together with the Av, that's why he can be mefer bekaidman. But if we're going to say that both by an Oris and a Nesuah the din is the same, that the husband is mefer alone, why here can't he be mefer bekaidman, and here he can be mefer bekaidman? That is the proof, says the Gemara, that by an Oris he's mefer together with the father, inside the Gemara. Mino, that is the proof. Oris mefer bekaidman. By an Oris, he is mefer bekaidman. Elav, why is he able to be mefer bekaidman when it's an Oris and not by an Nesuah? It must be because by an Oris should fosay the Av. Elma should fosay the Av, because by an Oris he's not doing it by himself. He's doing it together with the father. Since he's doing it together with the father, he has the right to be mefer bekaidman. However, by an Nesuah, where he's doing it alone, that's what the Torah says, that he can't be mefer bekaidman, and that's the proof that by an Oris they do it together, and the Nesuah, the husband, does alone.